Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today is actually a fulfillment of the Isaiah prophecy, and it is also a wonderful evangelism text if you think of evangelism in its proper sense. We start with this Phoenician woman. Phoenician is a Greek word for Canaanite. She's from Syria, and that's why she's a Syro-Phoenician instead of a Libyo-Phoenician. And Jesus, she is crying out to Jesus to heal her daughter who is demon-possessed. Mark is always in a rush to move his narrative as he's writing for Gentile readers, and he's trying to give them an exciting, quick-moving book to keep their interest in the Word of God. And so Matthew's account leaves out a few things that, or Mark's account leaves out a few things that Matthew's account provides. She was tenacious, this woman, in her pleading. In Matthew's account, we hear that she was so tenacious that the disciples turn to Jesus and say, "Please send her away." Right? And her response to hearing them say that is to fall down at Jesus' feet and plead all the more. Somehow, this mother had heard of Jesus. She had heard of his authority over demons, that he could help her daughter and her in her desperation. She is not going to let Jesus go. She is not a convert, a proselyte to Judaism. She is a Gentile. But she has one thing in common with each and every one of us. She is desperate. I know we don't always feel desperate. In fact, our pride doesn't often allow us to admit even when we need help. Which might explain why many of us or many of our culture seem to look down on people when they need therapy and or counseling, even while we are in a second pandemic of mental illness and suicide going all around us. Lord, I pray that we learn from our text today to drown that sinful pride in the waters of holy baptism, along with all of our sins that come with the sinful Adam. Lest we come to God's house thinking we are okay, and while we confess that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, and know from Scripture and our confirmation instructions that original sin has left us deserving nothing but God's temporal and eternal judgment, if we don't learn from this text, we will leave here receiving nothing. I want you to listen to this quote I found on the text. Ephraim the Syrian, he's a 4th century church father, so mid-350s, 360s, and he writes in a commentary on this text. It's actually a commentary of a compilation of all four Gospels together in one that he's writing on. He writes, "She was crying out as she was following after him, 'Have mercy on me.' But he did not reply to her. The silence of our Lord elicited an even deeper cry by the Canaanite woman. He who had was spurned by Israel spurned her by his silence, but she did not give up. Though neglected, she did not hold back. On the contrary, she again humbled herself, again and magnified Israel by her words. 'Even the dogs eat from the master's crumbs,' as though Jesus were the as though the Jews were the master of the Gentiles. His disciples therefore drew near and begged him to send her away. She was not ashamed. To her own benefit of the name of dogs, therefore he said, 'Great is your faith, O woman.'" Herein's Ephraim's quote. You see, we learn from the mother today that she realizes that her daughter is outside of her ability to help. And so she cries out for help and doesn't care where she gets it. Jesus ignores her, and she cries out and falls down at his feet. He says to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And it is here where you see the desperation and faith marriage. she clings to the one word he uses as he is speaking to her. And we learn in this text that Jesus is bilingual as well. He's speaking Greek to her, but later he speaks Aramaic when he heals the guy of his mute and deafness. But that's a side note. Anyways, he says to her, "Canarius." Now that little word, which means dog, it's translated dog properly, it means, though, a house pet, a house dog, not a stray dog, not something out in the street, but something in the house. And you know, those are treated much differently. And she clings to that word, and she will not let go of it, because that word is the word that she had her hope in. As she was not part of God's family through the Abrahamic covenant, she was most definitely in the house through the promise of the coming Messiah to Adam and Eve. She clings tightly to the opening. "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Oh, what a beautiful faith confession. What a beautiful faith confession of one who only came to Jesus out of her desperate situation. And yet, as we see, faith comes by hearing God's word. What a beautiful ending. Her child is healed, the demon removed, as the Lord of life does what his word can do and repairs all things. Now to our next miracle. Can you imagine bringing a friend to be healed by a healer and saying to him, "Please just put your hands on him," and him stick his fingers in his ears and spit and grab his tongue? That's not a ministry model that I want to follow. Right? As you're leaving today, I won't grab your tongues or spit on you. But our good Lord here gets up close and personal. You see, in a way, it is indeed what Jesus does for each and every one of us. He wants to stick his words into our ears. Remember, faith comes by hearing, right? It is then that the Holy Spirit will loosen our tongues to sing and to speak his praise. Jesus touched someone, whether with his word or his hands, they are touched by God, touched by his own creative word, his own creative hands. This God stepped down from his glory in heaven to step into our flesh, to be incarnate for us, to dwell among us, to touch us through his own humanity. Speaking and fingers in the ears and spitting and grabbing tongues and all that it entailed. He is the God who deals with us as human creatures that we are. None of this outer body spiritual gobbledygook. None of that garbage that we hear today. God deals with us in the dirty, day-to-day, earthy way of our human existence. Now we see Jesus doesn't simply look upward to heaven. He spoke. That's where the help comes from. Before the guy can hear, Jesus points him to heaven. That's where the help's coming from. Your help comes from God, and I have come to bring God to you. Jesus, the intermediate, the go-between for man and God. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He touches us with God's touch. He knows how deep the brokenness is and what the price he'll have to pay will be to fix it all. He knows the cost of this healing and all healings is a beating, a rejection, a Roman cross, the forsakenness of the Father that he cries out from the cross, fulfilling Psalm 22, and ultimately his death. So finally, Jesus speaks. Mark even gives us the Aramaic he spoke to the man, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." Jesus is releasing him from everything that held him bound and captive. "Ephatha," be opened. One could say, be released. Jesus the Christ, you see, came to proclaim release to all the captives. He came to speak and be the liberating word. This word of Jesus is living and active, spirit and life. His words fall on demons and they flee. His words fall on deaf ears and cause them to hear. His words fall on mute tongues and cause them to speak. At the sound of Jesus' word, Ephatha, the man's ears could hear, his tongue is freed, and he spoke plainly and clearly. Mark doesn't bother to tell us what he said. His attention is always on Jesus, not on the miracles or those who receive them. All we know is that he spoke plainly and coherently, which is one of the more overlooked miracles in this part of the healing. There's no speech therapy needed. He just speaks. And then after these great miracles, Jesus ordered everyone, ironically enough, to be quiet. Since he just loosed the man's tongue and restored the woman's daughter, the man can now speak clearly, and Jesus puts a gag order on him. Jesus didn't want to be known, you see, as a wonder worker. If all Jesus appeared to be was a cure for our temporal problems, an ear and tongue specialist, an exorcist traveling around the wilderness, then all would have missed the point. If all we see in Jesus is a quick remedy for our best life now, we have missed the point of our sinful minds that have kept us from focusing on heavenly things, but rather on earthly things. The Apostle Paul said that if our hope in Christ is only for this life, if all we look to Jesus for is solutions to earthly problems, is a way of saying it, we are to be pitied above all people. There was more than to Jesus' miracles. The miracles were signs that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the fulfillment of Isaiah's text, right? The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness. Jesus came to save us by absorbing into himself all the sin and evil and brokenness, all that had gone wrong with us, all that had come into the creation because of the fall. He came to take up our sickness and disease into his own body, to battle the demons that darken our lives, to take up the devastation that crushes us. He came to free us from everything that binds us, that imprisons us, that keeps us from being God's free children. He came to unchain us from sin, death, and the devil. He came to bring in a new creation with his own dying and rising, a new creation in which blind eyes see and mute tongues speak and lame leap and water flows in the dry desert places. Yet the people of the Decapolis told everyone what happened. The more he told them to be quiet, the more they couldn't keep their pie holes shut. And we have more reason to talk than they did. Greater even than casting out demons and making ears and tongues work again. Jesus has died for us and rose from the dead for us. He reigns over all things for us. He is Lord over death and gives us life in it everlasting in his resurrection. Now that's something really exciting to talk about. Jesus said Ephatha to us in baptism. He opened our ears to hear his word. He anointed our tongues to sing his praise and to pray to him and to proclaim his holy name and saving works to the world. As this same Jesus continues to put his forgiveness into our ears, his body and blood on our tongues, his word in our minds and our hearts, the same earthly incarnate way of fingers and ears and tongues being grabbed. This is what Jesus does for us. Now, next week, our Sunday school will start up and we'll have our church picnic. And it sounds like they've arranged for a dunk tank to enjoy dunking Pastor Rafa, and perhaps a tsunami with me. But we'll have some fun that week. Confirmation classes will start up as well. Parents and teachers, you have been given a holy calling to train the ears and tongues of God's little ones. You are teaching them to use their ears to listen to God by bringing them to church and Sunday school, and by setting an example yourself by doing the same. You are teaching them to use their tongues to praise, pray, and give thanks. This teaching is holy work. I thank God for you parents and you teachers. And we pledge to you our prayers and our support as we seek to serve the Lord together. So let us never forget Jesus is the one who returns children from the bonds of the devil. He is the one who opens ears and loosens tongues. Jesus even forgives sinners like me and like you to give all who believe in him eternal life. Trust Jesus. Those at the end of our text spoke very well from the Decapolis. He has done everything well. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.